Wherever you may be stationed this morning, perhaps gathered together as a family in your living room around the TV, perhaps you are at the kitchen table with your iPad, maybe you are in your home office at your computer, whatever the case may be, this morning I want you to picture yourself in a large grassy meadow. And I want you to imagine with me this morning that it's mid-afternoon, and you're watching a flock of sheep. There are a few sheep grazing before you, and the lambs are near their mother's side, and you are their shepherd. Imagine with me this morning that you are the shepherd of a flock of sheep, and it is your responsibility to protect them and to feed them and to lead them and to talk with them. You, as their shepherd, are the ones that care for those sheep. But then the question enters your mind, what about me? Who cares for me? Who feeds and shepherds me? And then it strikes you, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And it was David, the shepherd boy, who in this case, in the writing of Psalm 23, is not writing as a shepherd, but is writing as a sheep himself, one of the flock of God. And it dawns upon David that the Lord is his shepherd. And you can sense the excitement of David's discovery as he exclaims, "The Lord! The Lord is my shepherd." And as David begins to understand the fullness of that reality, he exploded with insight, and by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he penned Psalm 23, not as a lyric to be read at the time of death, but as a blessed truth for life. The Lord is my shepherd. And church family, as each of us endure the current crisis in our world today, and perhaps as we fear the future, we can look to the shepherd, the one who cares for our souls. And so this morning from Psalm 23, I'd like to present a meditation from this familiar, even favorite psalm, and ask ourselves a series of 10 different questions to confront us and to comfort us this morning as a people. Will you pause with me for prayer before we go to God's holy word? Let's pray together. Our God in heaven above, these are difficult days for us. And there are anxieties that fill our hearts, and there are fears that we face. And Lord, in the discomfort of the current crisis, we look to you, our shepherd, our chief shepherd, knowing that you are the good shepherd who cares for our souls. And God, this morning, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for the membership of Fourth Baptist Church, as well as many others who may be joining us for this service. And I pray, God, that you would care for us, that you would meet our needs, that you would guide and protect us. And may we be very conscious of your presence as our shepherd this morning. So, Lord, we commit our study to you now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I will assume that you have a Bible before you along with your device, that you have a copy of the Holy Scriptures, and I would invite you to go to Psalm 23. It's a familiar scripture passage. It's a favorite text of many. But open your Bibles with me and look there at Psalm 23. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the first question that we might ask of ourselves is this. The question, am I one of his sheep? Not everyone can declare with David, "The Lord is my shepherd," because God isn't everyone's shepherd. We are not all God's children. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." And so it's appropriate for us to ask, am I one of his sheep? But how do we know? It was in John chapter 10 that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I hope that is your testimony this morning. I hope that you have heard, and I hope that you have followed the invitation of salvation by faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. If you are uncertain about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please call me or write us. We would be happy to help you with that. But for those of you that are certain about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you can boldly declare with David, "The Lord is my shepherd," I would ask you, are you grazing in the shade next to the shepherd? Are you feasting on the green pastures under his care, or have you strayed? Have you wandered? Are you in a place far from your shepherd just now so that you cannot see his face, you cannot hear his voice anymore? Am I one of the sheep? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so we can ask a second question. We can ask, am I in want? If the Lord is your shepherd, you will not be in want. Since the Lord is your shepherd, you should not be in want. And the idea is that of not lacking anything or not in need of anything, not deficient in anything, for the Lord has promised to meet our needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is what Paul said to the Philippians. And folks, I believe that this is very relevant to us in our circumstance today, for people are fearful of running out of important and necessary supplies, like toilet paper. I might just recount a brief story. It was at the dinner table on Friday that the Morrell family, my family, discussed what we could do, number one, to get ourselves out of the house before the two-week quarantine stay-at-home order was enforced. Secondly, what we could do to have fun, to get out of the house, to have fun. And then thirdly, what we could do as a family to bless others. And so we hatched a plan as a family called Operation Toilet Paper. And the Morrell family Operation Toilet Paper was this. We drove around as a family, and we knocked on the doors of some of our church folks that lived near us, of course, while meaning proper social distancing, you see. And we presented a gift to a dozen different families. We presented them with a roll of toilet paper so that they would not be in want over the next couple weeks. We achieved the first of our two goals. First, to get out of the house, and secondly, to have fun. I'm not sure that we accomplished our third goal of blessing those families, but we are fearful, and for that reason, we are hoarding supplies and necessities, and there's a run in the grocery store so that the shelves are bare in many cases. But the reality is that none of us lack food and raiment or shelter at this time. Our material needs are met in spite of our current crisis, and as a child of God, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so when we ask ourselves, are we in want? Am I in want? We must ask if we are content with God's provision for today. Are we satisfied with the care of our shepherd right now? Can we trust God in these times to meet our needs for the coming weeks and the months as this crisis plays out? David said, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I hope that is your confidence. There's another question that we might ask from verse number 2. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I would ask the question, am I at rest? Am I at rest? The thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for sheep to be made to lie down and to be at rest unless three requirements are met. Three requirements for a sheep to be at rest. First, they must be free from all fear. And freedom from fear is found in the presence of the shepherd. And dear believer, there is no substitute in your Christian life for the keen awareness of the presence of the shepherd. And for that reason, the Lord promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when the shepherd is close, we can be free from fear because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power and of love and of a sound mind. The same shepherd boy David who wrote Psalm 23 also said in Psalm 4, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me to dwell in safety. So a sheep must be free from fear. Secondly, a sheep must also be free from friction with others of its own kind. In every animal society, there is an order of dominance or status within the group. With chickens, we call it the pecking order. With cattle, we call it the horning order. With sheep, it is called the budding order. And because of this rivalry and competition, there is tension and there is friction among a flock of sheep, and they cannot rest because they must stand and they must defend themselves and fight for their rights and their position. And just like the fear, the only solution to the friction is the presence of the shepherd. And I would say this to you, dear church family, that in our human relationships, it's only when you become acutely aware of the presence of the shepherd in your life, Jesus Christ, that your foolish or your selfish rivalries will end. It is only the humble heart that's walking quietly and contentedly in close and intimate companionship with the shepherd that one can rest and be at peace, simply glad to lie down and let the world go by, even at these times. How do you address your anxieties and your fears while you are sequestered at home for weeks? A third necessity for a sheep to be at rest, to be at peace at this time, is that he must be free from fear, he must be free from friction, also free from hunger. And I believe that's implied there in verse number 2 in the green pastures. You may not have thought about this, but many of the great sheep countries of the world are dry, semi-arid areas because most breeds of sheep flourish best in that sort of climate and terrain where there are fewer health hazards because of the air and the ground is dry. However, in those same areas, same regions, it's neither natural nor common to find green pastures. And the sheep need those rich green grasses, and therefore shepherds must search for the pastures, and then they must clear and plow and prepare and seed and irrigate. Don't think that a shepherd simply wanders around with sheep, passively following them while they hunt for something to eat, but quite the contrary. Rather, a shepherd has to be a farmer to feed his sheep and leading his sheep to those places where there is green grass. So a sheep must be free from anger. I think if we ask ourselves, am I at rest like a sheep? We must be free from fear, free from friction, free from hunger. Am I at rest? Number four, we ask, am I thirsty? Am I thirsty? You see it there at the second part of verse number 2, where he says, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, we know that the human body is about 70% water. In your case, maybe it's 70% coffee. And I suspect that even right now in this moment, many of you are holding a coffee cup just now. But like everyone else, sheep need water. And we understand the importance of water and the danger of dehydration. And our bodies alert us to a lack of water by an appetite called thirst. And while we like to drink Coke or Gatorade or milk or coffee or juice, there is nothing quite like water to quench the thirst. And the Good Shepherd leads us to still waters. And what does that mean? Evidently, in my reading, I've come to learn that sheep will not drink from a rushing river or even a mountain stream because they're frightened by the movement of that water. Sheep need still water. And if sheep aren't led to a good water supply, they will end up drinking from the polluted potholes and swamps along the way, and they will pick up internal parasites and nematoids and liver flukes and these other disease germs. And so the shepherd finds still water that's clean for them. And for the believer, this is much more than a figure of speech. It's really a practical reality. For the thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied when their spiritual thirst is quenched by the pure and living water of Jesus Christ. And friends, you may try the pleasures of this world, and you can try the religions of mankind, but not until you drink of the living water will you be fully satisfied. Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's not man's righteousness, but the righteous person of Jesus Christ. For they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied. And to speak to our current circumstance, you may find yourself with a lack of normal activity as your life is ground to a halt during these weeks. And you find yourself thirsty for something to do. You're bored. I would encourage you, as you are alone at home, you and the Lord, go to the still waters of God's Word. Meditate and reflect on the Scripture and commune with your Lord and drink deeply of the still waters that He has provided for you. You will be satisfied and refreshed. Normally, it's our practice to look to the arts and culture and music and literature and travel and sports and hobbies and social activities and community efforts, anything to satisfy us. And perhaps at this time, we find ourselves facing the haunting, hollow, empty, unfulfilled thirst within. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God said, "My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Which is why David prayed in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Am I thirsty? Is the question that we can ask. If you look also at verse number 3, we can ask this question, am I cast down? Am I cast down? Where David says, of his shepherd the Lord, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. What does that mean? I'd like to read to you from Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and I'll put the text here for you on the screen if you'd like to follow. Philip Keller writes this, "A cast sheep, or a cast down sheep, is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight, lying on its back, its feet in the air. It flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there, lashing about in frightened frustration. This is the way it happens. A sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity shifts so that it turns its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. At this point, it's quite impossible for it to regain its feet. If the owner doesn't arrive on the scene with a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off circulation, blood circulation to the extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. Another danger is predators, buzzards, vultures, dogs, coyotes, cougars, all know that a cast sheep is easy prey and death is not far off." Folks, I would ask you, are you cast down? Are you on your back spiritually? Are you up against the wall of your life, and are you struggling to regain your footing, to stand on your feet? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, can restore your soul and make you whole again. I would encourage you in the quiet moments of your life this week at home to read Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, where David questioned himself and he counseled himself. He questioned himself saying, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" And then he counseled himself saying, "Hope in God." We can ask another question. Another question, number 6, am I following? And I find that there at the end of verse number 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his sake, for his name's sake. Am I following? It's a commonly held but a serious misconception that sheep can get along just about anywhere. Simply put them out to pasture and let them fend for themselves. But the fact of the matter is that no other class of livestock require more careful handling or more detailed direction than sheep, because they easily go astray. In fact, the Bible compares us to sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and for some reason we do this repeatedly and to our own disadvantage. It was in Proverbs that Solomon said, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." And so we must ask ourselves, where are we going, and what are we doing, and who are we following? Because culture will pull us in a thousand directions, and on every billboard and every TV commercial, every social contact, there is an invitation to follow. But our Lord, the Good Shepherd, is extending the invitation to us, saying, follow me, and I will lead you in the paths of righteousness, the straight paths. And so we ask ourselves, am I following? Verse number 4, Psalm 23, verse 4, marks the halfway point in this psalm. And you might notice in verses 1 through 3, the writer has been boasting about his shepherd. David, the shepherd boy, is boasting about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he writes. But now the author turns and addresses the shepherd directly. And you can notice this in the personal pronouns that are used. I and you are now used in these latter verses as a point of personal conversation. And so from verse number 4, we ask this seventh question, am I ascending? Am I ascending? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4 says. And in the Christian life, we talk of taking another step spiritually. We talk of moving to higher ground with God, and we speak of mountaintop experiences. And for young people, for teenagers, perhaps it's summer Bible camp or a winter retreat or a missions trip, and we think somehow we are airlifted onto higher ground spiritually. But the truth of the matter is that reaching the mountaintop demands that we pass through the valleys. And so it is during the summer months that shepherds in Palestine would lead their sheep on long treks through the high country. And they would work their way up to the mountains so that by late summer they would be in the meadows high above the tree line with the approach of autumn and with the early snows that would force the flocks then back home to the ranches where they would spend the winters. But here's the point. The point is to get to those high points, you must necessarily go through the valleys, through the low points. And those valleys are scarred by ravines and rocks. They're wild predators. And the weather may be unpredictable, but they're also well watered with rivers and streams. And bigger than the danger of the valley is the presence of the shepherd, who is with the sheep through those valleys to the high country. And it is customary to use this verse as a consolation to those who are passing through the valley of death, and rightly so, because death is a valley. It's not the end for the child of God, but it's a door that we pass through, that we walk through to the higher ground of eternity with God. But the same is true in life. And Lord, even today, or friends, even today, we are walking through a valley in our current crisis. But it's what makes us fit for the mountain. And remember that the shepherd is with you in the valley. And he's with you with these instruments. You see there in verse number 4, the rod and the staff. The rod is a symbol of authority and power. It was always through Moses' rod that miracles were manifest, not only to convince Pharaoh of God's power, but to reassure the Hebrew people of God's power with the rod. And then there's the staff. The staff is an instrument for guiding the sheep or rescuing the sheep when they're caught or tangled. And God is using the rod and the staff, we might say the instruments of the Scripture and His Holy Spirit, to comfort us as we are walking through these valleys, as we're ascending to the high mountains spiritually. And for David, the authority and the power and the direction of the shepherd was a comfort. And so we ask, am I ascending through the valley? There's another question then that follows. Question number 8, am I on the table? Question number 8, am I on the table? Verse number 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, before you object, thinking the question should read, am I at the table? Let me explain that David is not talking about a banquet table with food, but rather the table is a summer range in the high mountain country. And sheepmen will call these tables, they'll call them alp lands or table lands. The Spanish call them mesa. It's the Spanish word for table. It's a high plateau that David speaks of. And the shepherd would find the summer range in the mountains, and he would check for poisonous vegetation or signs of predators, and he would prepare the table land, that high point after the valley, for the sheep to graze. In fact, there's even a familiar hymn that we often sing that mentions this very thing. Perhaps you can hear the melody in your mind as I read, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that certainly reflects the question of number 7, am I ascending through the valley? But that hymn goes on, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And the Lord, our shepherd, is going before us, preparing the way, preparing that tableland, that place of safety for us, so that even when Satan, who like a roaring lion seeks to destroy us, we are at safe, we are safe and at peace with the presence of the shepherd. Number 9, question number 9, am I covered? Am I covered? Verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. In the summertime, flies would bother a flock of sheep. Warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes from Minnesota, or gnats. All of these would pester the sheep, and they would attack a sheep's head and burrow into their eyes and nose, and they would have a devastating effect on a flock of sheep. And so a good shepherd would prepare an oil and smear it on the sheep's nose and on the sheep's head to protect it against those flies. And folks, for the bugs of our Christian life, we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is often illustrated throughout the Scripture as oil, covered with the oil of the Spirit of God to protect us from those nuisances. Am I covered? And then finally, we ask the question, am I sure of my future? Am I sure of my future? And folks, the answer for us today is first, no, we're not sure of our future. The problems of this day are very real to us. And in a world of uncertainty, we are fearful. In a world of crisis, we are afraid. What is going to happen to us tomorrow? Could anyone have predicted this global crisis? Can anyone promise that we all won't get sick or that our economy won't plunge us into a decade of depression? How can we be sure of our future? For David, this final verse is a point of triumph, a point of surety in his shepherd. He can boast about the future because his shepherd is good and merciful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Whatever may befall me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen to these other psalms about the goodness and the mercy of God. Psalm 100, verse 5, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118, verse number 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136, verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You get the point, although I could go on. Are you sure of this truth? The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. His mercy was new this morning, and it will be new tomorrow morning, and it endures forever. And so we can be sure of our future. We can go on because of our shepherd. And dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is not a stay-at-home order where you are sequestered or quarantined to the four walls of your earthly home, but is eternal order in which you can spend all of eternity in the presence of your shepherd. After the green pastures, and after the still waters, and after the mountain passes, and after every season of the year, the sheep grow in their confidence in the shepherd. And they find themselves to be more and more satisfied with the flock to which it belongs. And the ownership of their shepherd is not something that they rail against or something they want to change. But with confidence, they follow the good shepherd who cares for them. Folks, there's no better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He said, "I am the Good Shepherd, and good shepherds give their lives for the sheep." Your pastors are under shepherds, and we want to do the best that we can during this crisis to shepherd you. We want to talk with you on the phone. We want to correspond via email. We look forward to the time when we can assemble together as a congregation in this place corporately. But in the meantime, we'll seek to shepherd you. But at the end of the day, it is the Lord who is the Good Shepherd. And I hope that at this time, you can, with David, celebrate the fact that the Lord is your shepherd. Let's pray. Oh God above, I pray that you would care for your people as the Good Shepherd. Lord, everyone who is watching here this morning or listening to the broadcast is fearful and anxious about our current circumstances. We pray that your presence would be very real to them, that you might embrace them and hold them fast as they look to you. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.